Shaquille, I just want you to know they said they can't hear me at the back. And no, but he's my husband. And he always says that I'm a foghorn and anyone could hear me down the end of the road. So I just want to clarify that my voice is so small. You may be here today and you may not even know you need rescue. You may think you got it all together. You're paying your bills at the end of the month. Your relationships are okay. But the person sitting next to you is going to nudge you right now and just turn to you and say, we all need rescue. We all need Jesus. One, two, one, two. You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you've been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that can be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. Your SOS, your SOS. And I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true, I will rescue you.
Thank you.
Femi, come. Now, I'm not being funny, right? But like, that was really hard. And they did so well. And I just want to encourage you right now to be put into the hands of Temi. Because Temi's not just going to sing a song. She's going to lead you. And be led by her. Amen. Because she carries such glory. It's not just that smile. It's not just these clothes. It's not just the hair. Like, there's something going on deep in this woman. So I think she's going to ask you to stand. I'm going to let her go from here.
Amen. The Lord has sealed my voice already. I know that. Are we ready to dance and give God the glory? That I can't even feel it in the house. We all know that he died and he rose again. So we should be jubilating, isn't it? So I want us to be on our feet and dance to the King of Glory. Because he is worthy of all our praise. He's worthy to be glorified. He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To heaven and say hallelujah. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See your dance offering to the King of Kings. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Turn these microphones off now, Shaq. Just keep this one for now. Amen. Well, isn't God good? If you've enjoyed that, there's even more to come from our young people and from our children as well. Just before they come, I'm going to say a few words, and then we're going to receive our tithes and our offerings. Give them a chance to just rearrange and sort things out for themselves getting ready. But first of all, let me say just a few words, because the resurrection of Jesus is absolutely key. Of course, the death of Jesus is absolutely vital as well. But they're co-equal. They're co-equal. None is greater than the other. We thank God for the sacrifice that he made for us. Amen? But we also thank God for the fact that Jesus rose. Because what that means is that his sacrifice was acceptable. It did indeed pay for the sin of the whole world, both past, both present, and future. That is the value of the blood of Jesus. So that our sins have been covered. The sacrifice has been made. Now, there is no need for high priests to make a sacrifice as in the old covenant. Every year. And for people to make sacrifices for their sin on a regular basis throughout the year. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice that he made. And it's only that powerful because only God could do it. We couldn't do it. Even if you wanted to die for the sin of the world, it wouldn't pay for the sin of the world. Only the perfect one, who is Jesus. And so we give God thanks for that. Amen? And the wonderful thing is, because of that, he now gives that invitation to each and every person. And I assure you that every person has the opportunity to accept Jesus. Don't use that as an excuse, because God knows our hearts. And so he knows what our answer is going to be. And so every person gets the opportunity to respond with a yes to the invitation that Jesus gives, to ask him to be Lord of our lives, because that's all that he wants, to be Lord of our lives. And that means basically handing over our life to him and saying, number one, I believe in you. Number two, I admit that I have sinned. I know I'm not perfect. You are the perfect one and I fall short. That's what sin means. Falling short of God's standards. Number three, I realize that you did it because you love me. And number four, please forgive me. Come into my life. Give me that new start. Make me clean again. so that I can know you, the Holy One. That's what the gospel is. That is good news. Is it not good news? That your sin can be forgiven. That is amazing news. And to receive him. And this morning, I want you to help give me a countdown. Or a count up. From 1 to 10. Yeah? Because in proof of the fact that Jesus rose, he didn't just disappear. He actually appeared 10 times. If you read the scriptures. Number. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, if you remember, lived a promiscuous life of prostitution. She was delivered of 7 demons. So when she met the living Jesus, wow, what a difference he makes in her life. Transformed, changed, healed, set free. And Jesus is still in the business of setting people free and healing. So who else should we come to but him? Number to the women who also came to the tomb that fateful morning to see the dead Jesus and to embalm him. And he wasn't there. And then he greets them. And they see him. And they were normal women, housewives, children and families. And yet they were transformed into the foundational group of which we now stand. Their faith in Jesus helped build the church. And therefore, no one is insignificant in the kingdom of God. Your faith is important. It helps build others. It helps build the foundation on which others can also say yes to the truth. Number three. I'm getting carried away. Peter. He appeared to Peter. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 5 tells us. And Peter was transformed. Transformed from being a fisherman. A foul-mouthed fisherman. He swore. He was a real man's man. He was a rough guy. But he wore his heart on his sleeve. I've forgotten the phrase, but what you saw, you got. That's not right, is it? Yeah. Whatever it is anyway. Yeah. What you see is what you get. That's the type of guy he was. And when he met Jesus, Jesus said, I'm going to make you not fishers catching fish anymore, but fishers of men. And his life was changed, utterly changed. And he became someone who followed Jesus. And in fact, he became a key cornerstone to the early church. Number
four.
On the Emmaus Road, Jesus appeared. He appeared to two followers. One they called Cleopas. We think that was Peter. The other one could have been John, but we're not 100% sure. It doesn't name them. But it says that they were transformed from the inside out when they met Jesus. It says they didn't fully recognize, because they were still down in the dumps, that he'd been crucified. They thought he was gone. And they didn't even recognize him as he walked with them, talked with them. They were still in the past. And it was only when he broke bread with them, the thing that he'd done before his crucifixion, that they realized who he was. And then he went. And they said this. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us? See, when you meet Jesus, something happens in here. And I know the difference because I went to church. I went to church since I was dot. But I didn't know Jesus. But when I met Jesus, wow, I understood. My heart was changed. I was on fire for Jesus. And you need to know that God, Jesus, wants to live in your heart and transform you from the inside out so that you become sensitive to the spiritual things of God. Didn't our hearts burn within us because they became alert to the presence of God in their lives? Number to the 10 apostles he appeared in the upper room. And he transformed them into nobody, from nobodies into somebody. Number six. Sorry, I ain't got enough fingers. To the 11 in the upper room, including a guy called Thomas. What was the problem with Thomas? He doubted. He wasn't there the first time he appeared to the 10. And so they were telling him, Jesus is alive. We've seen him. He appeared to us in the upper room. And he said, oh, guys, I was there. I know he's dead. Don't kid me. I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the wound in his side and in the holes in his hands and feet. He was a real doubter. And then Jesus appears while he's there with the 11 this time. He falls on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. It takes some heavy stuff sometimes for people to cross the threshold of faith. He's the odd one out. Not many get that opportunity, but the majority get the opportunity of believing by faith. It's not all by what you see, it's by what your heart believes. Number seven. To the seven apostles by the Sea of Galilee, they were lost. Jesus was dead. Should we go back fishing? There on the beach, Jesus comes. And he does a wonderful thing for Peter. Peter had betrayed him. Peter, the loud mouth, the man's man, who when he got saved, he became the loud mouth Christian. Praise God. And he told everybody. And he needed Jesus to talk to him. Because he did something he thought he would never do. He said, I will never forsake you. And then the next minute, he's denying that Jesus, that he was a follower of Jesus. And he's swearing and cursing. And when he'd done it, he realized the awful thing that he'd done, and he was living in regret. So when Jesus rose, he made a special point of talking to Peter and saying to him, do you love me? And Peter became the leader of the early church. The only other guy to walk on water besides Jesus. Amen. That's because he wore his heart on his sleeve. Give your heart this morning. Not 10%, not 80%, but 100. God's big enough to deal with your mistakes. Amen? But he wants your heart. He wants your heart. Number eight. To the 11 and 500 more on Mount Tabor. Suddenly, it's gone from a few to hundreds. And from there, it goes from hundreds to thousands. And from there, it goes through the first century, the second century, the third, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, up to the year 2000, to 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. And people are still meeting Jesus. How about you? Number nine. To James, who was the brother of Jesus. And friends, sometimes family is the most difficult to be saved. You know, I know what it was, one of six. And then when you come and meet Jesus and you're full of the new joy of life knowing Christ, and they don't quite get it. They don't quite get it, do they? And you try and nothing seems to happen. Well, James and the family, apart from Mary, didn't really grasp who Jesus was. It's difficult when you've grown up with the guy and then he's saying that he's God. You know what I mean? It's a little bit difficult, isn't it? Most people would throw them into an asylum or something. But when he rose from the dead, all argument was finished and the family became believers, including James. And he became an early leader of the early church. And finally, number 10. He appeared to the disciples in Bethany, Mount of Olives, 40 days later. And they were witnesses to him rising back into heaven and saying, okay, guys, my time here is finished. I'm going home. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who can live in you. Whereas he couldn't because he was physically there present. Goes back, sends the Holy Spirit who can then live in each and everyone who says yes to Jesus. And they witnessed him go back. And later they received the promised Holy Spirit. And fantastic news is that Jesus is still appearing today. And he's here. He's here. So I'm going to pray. Father, I pray by the presence of your Holy Spirit, Jesus is here. Already he's speaking. And I pray that whatever our circumstance, whatever our background, whether we're fishermen, whether we're clerical, whether we're shop floor, whether we're housewives, house dads, whatever our circumstance, you can take us from where we are and transform our lives into something special for the kingdom of God. And I pray for those here this morning who need to say yes to Jesus, that today will be the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Not at your children. Well. Okay, I hope everyone is ready. I hope everyone's having fun this morning. No. I hope everyone's having fun this morning. That's more like it. Our children need that energy. So they've been working really, really hard on what we are about to do. So I hope you're all ready to do it. For the past few weeks, if you hear us shouting at the back and singing and praising and worshiping, that's because they've been working really, really hard on the show we are about to put on for you. So I hope Glenn's got insurance for this building because we are about to break it down. So get ready, church. Kids, are you ready? Yeah. Children, are you ready?
I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said.
Walk away and forget your name. I serve for you, that's all I do. And they sang a song. And they sang a song, a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth."
After these things I look, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all these nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with bright white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our King, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb."